Well, church, it's Pentecost Sunday. Finally arrived. However many weeks ago that was, 50 days ago, we were celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And now we're celebrating the birth of the church, really. It's exciting. Kids, I want your attention for just a second here. Kazamers, I want you to look at me. I think they're really all just in this one row. Perfect! I'll just look right over at you. Guys, a few weeks, right after Easter happened, we talked about in Kazam, we talked about Jesus' ascension, when he rose and went back up into heaven. And we used a balloon that was just like this one, wasn't it? We used a balloon just like this one, and a couple people tugged on the thing, and it floated up to the ceiling. I couldn't get it down without the ladder. And so we used a balloon just like this, and we cut the balloon and let it float right up. And we watched it float up into the ceiling, just like the disciples would have watched Jesus ascend into heaven, right? I've got another balloon just like this today. We're going to use it in just a second here. I'm going to tell a bit of a story, and then I'm going to need one of you to help me with this balloon, all right? So pay attention, listen up. You've got your activities. Maybe put it on hold for a second. All right. Jesus is coming back to earth. Hallelujah. All right. Well, I want to set the stage, though, for the story of Pentecost. Jesus went up into heaven. He died on the cross, rose up again. 40 days later, he ascended up into heaven. And his disciples who were there, they had watched him. They had just heard Jesus give his final commands to them. And he said, go back into the city, go back into Jerusalem, and wait there until the gift from God comes down to you, the gift of the Holy Spirit. So the disciples go back into Jerusalem, and they wait there, just like Jesus had told them to. You can imagine how they were feeling. They may have been slightly confused, may have been kind of lost. All right, what's this going to look like? What happens now? We're just waiting around. But they decided that they didn't know how long they were going to wait. They ended up waiting 10 days, but they didn't know how long they were going to wait. So in all of that time that they were waiting, they weren't just sitting around twiddling their thumbs, thinking, all right, something's going to happen. They were doing something. They were doing two things that stuck out to me. First, they were praying. They were seeking. Acts 1 verse 14 said, they all met together and they were constantly united in prayer. There's about 120 believers at this time who believe in Jesus' death and resurrection. I've seen him, I've walked with him. They know that this is true. And so they're saying, this Holy Spirit, this gift, whatever this is supposed to be coming to us. And so they're seeking and they're praying. They're asking for it. They're asking what God wants. That's the first thing. And the second thing that they were doing was they were planning. Jesus had told them, you guys are going to go out and be my witnesses into Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world. You guys are going to be my witnesses. You guys have seen something. You guys saw me die. You guys saw me come back to life again. You guys have seen something. You have a testimony of something. Go out and tell other people about me. And so in their time of waiting, they were planning for that. They decided, okay, well, we used to have 12. Now we've got 11. Judas, who used to be part of the 12 with us, he went off, he betrayed Jesus, and he was so filled with guilt and shame afterwards that he decided to commit suicide. He's out of the picture. We need somebody else to fill his place. And so in their time of waiting, in their time of praying, in their time of seeking, they were also planning, okay, we need a new disciple. We need somebody else to come alongside of us in fulfilling this great commission that Jesus has asked us to do. And so they go out and they pray, and they elect two men, and they pray over that. Peter says in chapter 1, verse 22, he says, whoever is chosen out of these two will join us as a witness in Jesus' resurrection. They had a purpose to do, and so they were planning in doing that purpose, seeking and planning. And those are going to come up again a little later. And so Pentecost day came. Jesus ascended into heaven 40 days after he arose from the grave. Then 10 days after that, there was a festival called the Festival of Pentecost. This was not a new festival. This had been a festival that was around since the Israelites had been wandering around the wilderness. It was a celebration of the harvest of the first fruits. And it was actually one of three times during the year that all of Israel was supposed to come to Jerusalem, make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem to be able to celebrate this festival. And so there would have been many people joining the disciples in Jerusalem that day. And it's interesting, Jewish tradition gives us a little bit more of an idea of what Pentecost was all about. The Jewish tradition believes that this is also the day when God spoke to the Israelites on Mount Sinai after their exodus. So they're Exodus, they're in the slavery in Egypt. God has been doing all of these amazing plagues and miracles around them. And they celebrate the very first Passover. Very first Passover, and they put the blood of the lamb upon their doors, and the angel of death passes over those houses, and they go out in victory from Egypt into the wilderness. And so they believe that it took about 50 days for them to be able to get down to Mount Sinai. And it was at Mount Sinai that God spoke to them from the mountain in the thunder. And God gave them the Ten Commandments. God gave them these requirements. He's saying, I'm now making a nation out of you. You're going to be my people, and I'm going to be your God. That was the birthday of a nation. That Pentecost day was the birthday of a nation. And now they're celebrating Pentecost again, and now it's the birthday of a church. Because God is speaking again. But this time he's not just speaking through Moses. He's not just speaking through one person leading everybody. He's speaking through everybody. He speaks through every single believer who is there about Jesus' death and resurrection. And so we can imagine the story. We're going to read the story here of the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, verses 1 to 4. So on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. You can imagine it something like this. A bunch of believers, 120 of them about at that time, meeting together in one place, kind of like this. And suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. So can you imagine? I don't know what they were doing. If they were worshiping at that time, if they were praying, if they were just like, hey guys, let's grab some food, whatever it was. They're in the house, they're together, and suddenly God's got their attention. Something's got their attention because this huge sound is going through the entire place where they are. In verse 3, then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and it settled on each of them. I don't know what you'd be feeling right there, whether excitement, whether this is it, or whether, okay, what's going on? There's fire suddenly in here and there's wind. But flames of fire appeared and it went and it settled on each of them. And everyone present, all 120 of them, everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Can you imagine what that would have looked like? What that would have felt to them? The excitement that would have been there. This is it, guys. This is what we were praying for. This is what we were seeking for. This is what we were planning for. Just like that, they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. Just like that, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. It's interesting, those two words. Jesus had used baptized in the Holy Spirit back in chapter 1, verse 5. Jesus said when he was, just before he went up into heaven, John baptized with water. In a few days, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And now in chapter 2, verse 4, it says everyone was filled with the Holy Spirit. This is showing two things, guys. Baptism means to be immersed, right? If any of you have been baptized, we're completely immersed into the water when we come up into new life. That's something that happens once. That happens one time, covers it all, we're baptized in. But to be filled, that filling, it's like, you know, when you eat too much food, you're full. Something is in you. And yet we can become empty, and we need that refilling. We need that again and again and again. God, please come and refill me. We're baptized in it. We've got the Holy Spirit. We're full of it, but we need it again and again and again. But just like that, they're baptized in the Spirit. They're filled with the Spirit, and it changed everything. It changed everything. Because suddenly this scared, uncertain little group of followers that were trying to figure out what's this going to look like. We're searching for something. I don't really know. We're planning, but this isn't really what's happening. This scared little group of followers is now going out and boldly spreading the good news that Jesus had died and that he had risen again. All of their planning and getting somebody else on board had been completely powerless. It was ineffective without the Holy Spirit being inside of them. Because in all 10 days that they had been from Jesus' ascension to Pentecost, in all those 10 days, nobody else had become a Christian, to what the Bible says at least. Nobody else had joined them, even though they'd been planning, okay, we need to go out and tell people about this. But then on Pentecost, if we read further in Acts 2, it says 3,000 people believed in Jesus that day. Nobody in 10 days, and suddenly in a matter of hours, 3,000 people come. The power of the Holy Spirit working inside of us. Peter, he's completely uneducated. He's a fisherman. He's been wandering around with Jesus for the past 3 years. He's a fisherman, kind of been off on the left side sometimes once in a while, but he now is filled with such power and such understanding that he's going out. He's been uneducated in the scriptures. Now he's explaining the scriptures. In his sermon there, you can read the rest of Acts chapter 2. He's explaining all of these scriptures that are prophesying about Jesus. And not only are they bold now, being filled with the Holy Spirit, not only are they bold in going out and sharing this good news, but miracles are following. You know, you read right next in the next chapter, chapter 3, and they go over to the temple, and there's a man who's lame there, and he's healed in the name of Jesus. Miracles are following them. They're no longer self-interested. They're being sacrificial. They're giving of themselves. They're giving of their time. They're giving of their possessions, of their money. They're praising God. All of this is summarized there at the end of Acts, the end of Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit is being poured out on all believers. It changed everything. Just like what is inside of this balloon changes everything. Because that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now lives inside of us as Christians, as Romans 8 verse 11 says. And so when we take this Spirit that's inside of Jesus, if this was Jesus, we're pretending that this is Jesus, what's inside of him is that Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit came down upon him at his baptism. When he went in, the Holy Spirit came down on him like a dove. And so when we take that Spirit that's inside of Jesus and we ask him to come inside of us, it changes how we talk. It changes how we act. So one of you kids who've been paying attention to me, he wants to help me with this balloon. Isaac, come on up. Do you know what happens? Can you hold that for a second? Do you know what happens when you breathe in helium?
You sound funny.
Here, say something to show us what your voice usually sounds like.
Hello.
That's what his voice usually sounds like. All right, hold on this for a second.
I have not practiced it. Hope it doesn't, if it flies out that way, I'm sorry. This is going to be interesting. You're going to breathe this in, okay? So you're going to have to put your mouth all the way around this. Breathful? Okay, you're all right. How can you still be breathing in? All right, here, now say something. Do you get anything?
Hello. Hello.
Thanks, Isaac. Here, take the rest of it. Go back. Just like what's inside of that balloon changes our voices, when the Holy Spirit comes inside of us, it changes our voice. It changes what we're like. Because the Holy Spirit is still poured out on people today. It is still empowering for the mission today. And as Christians, God dwells inside of us, and that is powerful. Church, if we can understand that, God Almighty, who created everything, who was there in all of the many battles that happened throughout all the Old Testament, who was orchestrating everything so perfectly, who was putting things so perfectly together that when Jesus hit, the world was ready for it. He was the one, that's that same God who hung there upon that cross for us, that same God who rose up victorious 3 days later, who is doing all these miracles, who is speaking to us, that same God now lives inside of us. And it changes everything. It's not just one person anymore. It's not just leaders. It's not just pastors, but even children. Bill Johnson said, pastor down in the state says, children don't have a junior Holy Spirit. They're junior people. They're not, that they don't have a junior Holy Spirit. It's that same Holy Spirit. It's poured out on all of us now. So church, do you yearn for that? For more of God? Because it changes everything. The Holy Spirit, what does he do? It's a constant draw to God. You know, it's those times when we come to church and we have to be very intentional, right? We want to be very intentional. Okay, this is the time dedicated to God. But what about when you're out, I don't know, making supper? You're out there driving around, whether you're, you know, you're working, you're out there in the fields, whatever it is, but God's right there. It's not that intentional time. That's that Holy Spirit working inside of you. You're not having to intentionally, okay, this is my hour with God. No, God's just always there, constantly drawing you in. That unbidden draw towards God. It's that boldness in speaking. That boldness in saying, hey, I've seen something. God's done something in me. I want to share that. It's walking in the gifts of the Spirit, whether that's in healing, whether that's interpretation, whether that's teaching, whether that's humility, whether that's hospitality, whatever that is, working within those gifts that God gives to us, that the Holy Spirit works inside of us. The Holy Spirit guides us. The Holy Spirit teaches us. It gives us power over sin. It gives us power to conquer those things in our life, those strongholds, those things that just keep pulling us down again and again. It gives us power to overcome those. And most importantly, it just makes us more like Christ. It makes us more like Christ. And the purpose of all of this baptism of the Spirit, was really twofold. If we can read it in here. One, it was to bring glory to God. In chapter 2, verse 11, these people, they're now speaking in tongues. These 120 people are now speaking these different languages. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. And all these other people who are there for the festival of Pentecost are hearing this. They're just like, they're going around and they say in chapter 2, verse 11, they say, we hear all these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things that God has done. They were giving glory to God in their speech. They were giving glory to God by having the Holy Spirit moving and working through them. How is God's glory shown through his Holy Spirit in you? How is God's glory being shown through you? That was number one, to bring glory to God. And number two, to be empowered for his work. Just as we saw Peter suddenly come alive and the disciples suddenly come alive and they're going around and they're telling everybody about this and they're empowered in that mission. The Spirit's wisdom, the Spirit's energy, the Spirit's power were the driving force behind the church's work and its witness. That's the mission of the church. Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's two ditches that we can get into when we're talking about this. There's two different ways, two far extremes that we can easily jump into. We want to touch on those because we want more of God. Even if we've been baptized in the Spirit before, we know what that's like. We've had that close encounter with him, that moment where God just feels so tangible and we feel him come alive within us. Even if we've had that moment, we can either go to one side or the other. There's two ditches here. One, we can stifle the Holy Spirit. Or on the other side, we can manipulate him or try to manipulate him. We're going to touch on these just briefly. First one, the first ditch that we can fall into when we're talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit is stifling the Holy Spirit. Guys, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, and that's powerful. But what is so humbling is the fact that you can hold God back. You can hold God back. There's four different levels of allowing the Holy Spirit to move inside of you. And this applies to all people, whether you believe in this stuff, whether you think it's a bunch of hooey, or whether you know that this is proven fact. I have been there. I know God's power. Whatever it is, there's four different levels of allowing the Holy Spirit to move through you. Firstly, you can say the Holy Spirit doesn't speak at all. It's that term cessationist. You think it's ridiculous. You're completely skeptical of it, saying, no, that stuff, that's just weird. That doesn't happen. You know, to have different words coming out of your mouth, that doesn't even make sense. And some people here at that very first Pentecost were saying that. In chapter 2, verse 13, others in the crowd were ridiculing these disciples, saying they're just drunk. That's all it is. They're just drunk. They didn't understand. They're just passing it off as they're just crazy. Something's happening to them. They're completely knocked out. This is what's going on. You could have that idea that's stifling the Holy Spirit to say that he doesn't speak anymore. But if you're on your way to God, if you don't have that relationship with him yet, I want to tell you something. Those of us who are Christians, we do have a relationship with God. And we want more of him. We want more of him. Have you ever had that experience, though, where something seems so far-fetched, like a story that you have gone through seems so far-fetched, so absurd that nobody really believes you? Because that's what you may be thinking of us right now. That's where we're sitting right now, saying this may seem ridiculous and absurd, but this is true. My little brother, who is now, you know, not so little, my little brother sits at the table facing the kitchen, and we've got a little pen jar sitting by the microwave. It's a good distance away. And he's gotten into this habit since he was at least 9 years old. So that's been over a decade. And he'll crumple up his napkin after whatever meal it is, and he'll throw it and try to get it into that pen holder. He's made it twice. out of every single day, every single meal. But the very first time that he did that, he was sitting there and he threw it and he got it in. Nobody was there to see it. Nobody was there. Out of all the times that we've watched the ark and, you know, go and, you know, encourage him, nobody was there to see it. And so he sat in his chair. He sat there and waited for somebody to come by to say, go look in the pen holder. Because he was like, this story is so absurd. You're going to think I just went over and plopped it in. And then, you know, he's like, I'm going to sit right here until somebody sees. When we have that story that nobody, it may seem impossible. It may seem so completely ridiculous. But we want to say, no, we've done something. We've seen something. Something's happened. Can you just see? Can you just go look over there? Can you see it living out in my life? Because we can't stifle the Holy Spirit by saying that he doesn't speak anymore. Or the next level, you can move up just a little bit. You can say, okay, this could happen. The Holy Spirit can move. The Holy Spirit still speaks through me. The Holy Spirit still empowers. And so you feel the Holy Spirit move. You feel that excitement, that joy start to rise up in you, and then you shut it down. A friend of mine did that for years. Would feel that just rising up, just feel that excitement, feeling that I don't know what's happening right now. I feel so full of God, and I want to say things, but I don't want to. And they stifled it. They pushed it back down. They limited God because they're just like, that's too, no. Their image was more important than that. They were like, well, what are the other people going to think around me? What is this really, like, is this actually from God? Like, what is this? And so they pushed it back down. Because we have that power to be able to do that, but we're stifling the Holy Spirit when we do that. Or you can move up one more level and you think, okay, I'm going to allow God to move, and suddenly God's there. And you feel him working in your heart, and you think, this is a really cool experience. And you leave it at that. This was a cool experience. All right, yeah, that's happened to me. Perfect, I'm going to move on. And we can stifle what the Holy Spirit is actually doing in our hearts at that time. We end up worshiping the experience more than we worship the God behind the experience. Because we could say, this really cool thing happened. I felt God working up inside of me. Or I spoke in a different language. Or whatever it is, the Holy Spirit is working inside of me. But you don't mention the glory of that intimacy with God, which is really what's behind all of this. Or that final level, we can say, God, I want to feel you. I want to be close to you. Come and have your way. And we're fully in. We're fully expecting what God can do. But in three of these levels, we can stifle the Holy Spirit. We can limit God by thinking that we can't have a personal encounter with him, by thinking that speaking in tongues is a thing of the past, by pushing it down and not allowing him to speak or to move through you, by thinking God only works in specific ways even, saying, well, this is how God worked last time, so this is how he's going to work this time. It's that there's a story of a guy, he was feeling the baptism of the Spirit rising up inside of him, and he was going to speak in tongues, and he clamped his hand over his mouth. He's like, I don't want to have that come out of my mouth. That's not who I am. This wasn't the kind of church I was raised in. I don't understand this. This isn't supposed to happen to me. So he clamped his hand over his mouth. You got to let yourself go in order to not stifle the Holy Spirit and be stuck in that ditch. You have to just let yourself go. Because it's not about you. It's about glorifying God. It's about being empowered to do his work. Not in your way, not in your timing. His work, his way. Because God is not limited in what he can do. God is limitless. God's love was not exhausted upon the cross. It's not that he poured everything out then and he's got nothing now. No, he is unlimited in his love and in his power. He's unlimited in what he can do in and through you. So that's that one ditch that we can get into, saying, this isn't for me. This isn't, God doesn't do this. We can stifle the Holy Spirit and push it back down. And I caution you, if you're moving towards that ditch, steer a little bit back, being like, hey, God, just open yourself up to what God may want. May be surprising. Or we can get into the other ditch, where we try to manipulate the Holy Spirit. And say, God, I want more of you so badly that I'm going to make myself feel it. I'm going to try to orchestrate things so that I feel you again. So that I'm going to be so filled up by you again. And it's we're supposed to want, we're supposed to expect, we want God to be working through us, but we can work ourselves into a little frenzy that we feel something. It's like with fear that way. You know, you watch something or you hear something and you get so fearful, you work yourself up thinking there's somebody in my bathroom. I don't know. You work yourself up to something that where there was no fear, there is now fear, right? And it's that same kind of thing that we can do with God. We can build ourselves up to think, okay, this is God. This is God working in me. But God's not really in that right now. Yes, he's there, but that's not the direction he wants you to go down. He's got something else in mind for you. But you're waking, this is supposed to be the way. This is the way that I felt God before. This is how I felt God before, so I'm going to do this again. And A plus B equals C, I'm going to feel God. Or maybe you'll be like, okay, I know that I have all authority in God. And so you go here, there, and everywhere and be like, this breakdown, and this breakdown, this breakdown. Yes, we're supposed to go into the battle and do that. But did God tell you to go there? Did God say to declare this? Because you may be working against God. What if you're saying, no, God's got this in store. Or I just need to persevere in this moment. Whatever it is, we have to try not to manipulate the Holy Spirit. Because we can't force God's hand. It's all in his timing. It's all in his way. It's all for his purpose. And that's something that's been on my mind for the past 2 months, really, as I've been preparing for this thing. It's all in God's timing. God, I want more of you. I truly do want more of you, and I want more of God for this church and for this entire region. I've been praying for that, but I can't force it to happen. God's going to come in his time and in his way. Aaron mentioned that this morning in worship. It's going to happen in God's timing and in his way. We just have to be open to that. Because the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit can end up in our heads instead of in our hearts. Thinking, we understand this. I know how this is supposed to work. I know what happens here. But is it now in your mind and you're thinking through it as opposed to the spiritual working in your heart that it should be? Or else we could end up like Naaman. Back in, I won't read it, but back in 2 Kings verse 5, there was a man named Naaman and he was covered in leprosy. And one of his servant girls said, hey, go over into Israel. There's this guy there named Elisha. He's a prophet. Talk to him. He'll be able to heal you. He'll be able to get rid of this leprosy through God. And so he's like, sure, I've tried everything else. Why not? And so he goes over into Israel and he finds Elisha's house and he's going to go talk to Elisha. Elisha doesn't even meet him. Elisha sends out his servant and says, okay, just go and wash yourself in this river a bunch of times and then you'll be clean. And Naaman's like, come on, really? And so he goes away all in a huff. He's like, I thought this guy was going to come out, this powerful man of God was going to come out and like lay his hand on me or do something crazy. And so he goes away and he's like, well, this isn't worth it anymore. Because his expectation was that God was going to work in one specific way. And we try to manipulate the Spirit to say, this is the way that you're supposed to work. As opposed to being like, God could have anything in store. Fasten your seatbelts because God's going to take you for a ride somewhere where you don't know. So to avoid these ditches, to avoid being in either side of these, I think we have to go back to what the disciples were firstly doing. They were praying and they were seeking. Seeking for more of the Holy Spirit. That's my challenge to you today. Whether you've never been filled and you haven't had that experience, you don't know what it's like to be filled with such power and closeness and intimacy with God, or whether you've been there 1,000 times, you know what that's like. Seek for more of the Holy Spirit because there's more than what you've got. Be open to allowing him to move and not operating just on what you know, but seeking for more of God, because that's what the disciples were doing in Acts 1:14. When they all met together and were constantly united in prayer. Or Matthew 7, verse 7. Keep on asking. You will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. If you're seeking for this, God will give it. John 14, verse 7. Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit to his disciples before he goes to the cross. He says, the world cannot receive him because it's not looking for him. The world isn't looking for the Holy Spirit, so he's not going to receive him. We need to be seeking, yearning, wanting more of God. You know him, though, Jesus says. You know him because he lives in you now and later will be in you. We want to be seeking for more of God because when God is within us, dwells within us, what can happen? An entire nation was changed around. The entire Middle East was turned upside down, and there was huge chaos over this Jesus person because of the power that the disciples were speaking for Jesus. But we have to be careful when that Holy Spirit hits, whatever that looks like, where you're so overcome that you just shake, where you're so overcome you just have to fall to your knees on the ground, whether you're so overcome that God just takes over your voice and you speak in those other languages, whether you're so overcome you're just completely humbled and you just confess everything to God, being like, take it all away, wipe me clean. Whatever it looks like for each individual one of us when we meet with God, we can't worship the experience. They weren't excited because the wind swept through on that day and the tongues of fire were on their heads, the manifestations of the Holy Spirit that way. That's not what they were excited about. They were excited because the Holy Spirit was now in them and they were filled with God. They were meeting with God. I challenge you to be careful. Don't worship the experience. Don't seek for the experience. Yes, the experience is exciting and it's powerful and it's wonderful and we feel that closeness, but seek for the God behind the experience. Worship the God behind the experience because he's the one who's giving this all for a reason. So just in closing here, I'm going to speak to two camps of people. Firstly, those of you who don't think that you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Are you searching for it? Do you really want it? Do you want it to change everything? Do you want more of God than what you've really got? Do you want to walk down that path of seeing what God can do? I'm telling you, it could be interesting. But it's so exciting to be a part of what God's doing. Are you seeking for it? When I was 15, I was baptized in water when I was 15. And it was around that time, I think just before that time, that I was like, God, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so I was praying for it. I was like, God, I want tongues. I want all of this. I want to be able to go out. I want to preach. I want whatever it is. God, I want you to be part of me or be in me, working through me. And I was praying this. I was 15 years old. And it took me 6 months. Took 6 months before I actually got that. Of praying. Of seeking for it. Because God, I can plan however I want. I think that this is going to go, but I need to be seeking you and asking you. It may not come today. It may not come like that. But are you really seeking for it? Because if you're really seeking for it, it's more than just today. It's more than just this moment of being caught up and being like, yes, I want more of God. I want to see God work through me. I want to see God whip through this entire region through my testimony. It's more than just right now. If we truly want it, we're truly asking for it. We'll put up with asking for it for 6 months or longer, whatever it is. But we also know if you haven't been baptized in the Spirit. We also believe God gives good gifts to his children. Matthew 7, verse 11. If you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? If we're asking God for this good gift, to be able to do more in him, to feel closer to him, to have more of him within us, he'll give those good gifts. Whatever that may look like, it may be different than what you expect. Don't be bound by what you expect, but expect something. So that's number one. And if you have been baptized with the Spirit, you know what that's like, that closeness with God, that time when you just feel God working through you. When God speaks into your heart and turns you around and says, okay, go over here, do that. Go, whatever it is, be my witnesses. How are you different now? My question to you, how are you different now than when you were first baptized in the Holy Spirit? That may have been last week that you were baptized. It may have been 20 years ago, whatever it was. How are you different now? Has it continued to change everything? Or has it become a little common? Has it started to move up here just a little bit? Because that baptism happens once, but that refilling happens again and again and again. It's just like Stephen in chapter 7 of Acts. Stephen was a man of God. He was baptized in the Holy Spirit. He was full of God. And yet when he was standing before that council and he was trying to defend his faith, he was filled with the Holy Spirit again, the Bible says. He was filled with God and he looked up into heaven and he spoke to those people. There's refilling. Church, there's more than what you've got. There's more than what I've got. And God, I want to see more. There's more than what I've got. That refilling. It's like you go to, some restaurant. And you get a cup. And I like iced tea, so I'm going to go for iced tea. And I fill up my cup. and I drain it. Usually I don't go back because I can't drink that much, but it's refillable. You can go back and get more of it again. It's that refilling. Church, do you want more of God? That refilling of God, to desire more of God. Worship team, if you want to come up, we're going to spend some time just in the spirit here. We're going to spend some time just seeking. I don't know where you're at tonight, today. I don't know what your walk with the Holy Spirit has been like. But can I challenge you to spend some time seeking for him? Seeking so we're not stifling. Seeking for the filling or the refilling of the Holy Spirit. That encounter with God, that overwhelmingly close to him feeling. That power coursing through you, bringing your spirit to life. But I also want to say we're recognizing that God's timing is perfect. We can't manipulate the Spirit. We can't make something happen. We're going to open up this altar, this place here. If you've been seeking for God, if you want more of him, that desire to be refilled, we're going to open up this place for you to come and just step out in faith. But we can't manipulate the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying it's going to happen today, right now, but we're expectant. Saying, God, come, have your way, ask for more of him, for his kingdom to go out in power, for the Holy Spirit to be working in us. We don't just want an encounter with God, but we want God himself. God, we want you yourself, our limitless God, our God who changes everything. So God, I just pray, Lord, that you would be working right now. God, words are nothing. Music is nothing, really, without you. Our gathering here, God, is all supposed to be for you. And God, we want more of you. We know that you are limitless. There is no end to your power, no end to your love, no end to what we can have in you, God, to what we can be in you, to have you working through us. God, we want you to take over us completely, to come and fill us. Because then we're not full of ourselves, Lord, we're full of you. Father, we want to be empowered for your work. We want to glorify you, God. We want to glorify you, and we want to be empowered for your work in this region, in Chauvin, God. So Jesus, I pray, Lord, that you just come and have your way right now. God, we're waiting on you, just like the disciples were waiting on you, God. So Lord, in your timing and in your way, God, I pray that you would just take over us. In Jesus' name, God. Church, these altars are open if you're seeking for that. If you just want more of God. More of God. That beautiful, loving God. That powerful God who heals all things, who works good in all situations. If you want more of that, God, I invite you to just stand before this cross, saying, just opening yourself up, saying, God, I'm seeking for you. I want you. Church, will you stand with us? Will you sing with us? And if that's you this morning, I invite you to come forward. And the prayer team will come around and pray with you.
Welcome in this place.
your spirit is not limited to this time, to this place. God, I pray that we would continue to be expectant and hopeful of who you are and what you can do and how you can use us, God. Jesus, as we go out from here, Lord, I pray that you would just burn into our minds, burn into our hearts and our souls, God, the things of you, that our minds would be stayed on you, God, focusing our thoughts on things above, not on earthly things. And Lord, that we would see you moving and active, that we would see you, God, working through us, that we would see you, God, sweeping across this land and igniting it with passion and fire and yearning desire for you, God. Lord, put that desire deep within our hearts again. Lord, that today wouldn't just be another Sunday, that next week wouldn't just be another Sunday, that this wouldn't just be another week, God, that we go about and do our lives the way that we've always done them, but God, that we would do it expectant of you, wanting to see you moving, God, wanting to have you in your unlimitedness, to have all of you, God. Lord, you are so incredible, so beyond our comprehension. So, Father, please speak to our hearts. Please speak to our hearts, God. All for your glory, Jesus. Church, this is a place to continue seeking God. If you still feel that drawing within you for more, more of him, I invite you to stay. I invite you to come. I invite you to take that time. Don't rush into everything else. But church, you are dismissed in Jesus' name. Go with all the power that he has, with all the excitement that he is, meeting with our glorious God who died for us and who rose again in victory. God bless you all.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I found. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour. My righteousness, God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is born. Grace is found, is where you are, where you. Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. And I need your